Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome to another episode of the German Football Podcast. After an enthralling weekend of German football, and I'll introduce my co-hosts. Firstly, joined by Roy, who's making his return after missing last week. How does it feel to be back?
It was an interesting listen, not hearing my own voice. Quite enjoyed it, to be honest. And it sounded like it was a much more cleaner and easier record as well. So maybe it was a bit best thing for you guys as well, but it's nice to be back.
Well, we've invited you back anyway, so right. you can't have been Mark messed that up.
I had a great answer. I'm not going to fuck up the man's.
I was gonna say we can't have missed you that much, but that doesn't make sense.
No, I didn't, because you said it was fine.
Well, we invited you back, so it can't have been that much of an improvement. We've also got Robert on this week. How are you doing? Sitting next to Roy on his couch.
I'd like to say I'm not offered Robert a place to stay. He does stay in Hamburg in his own place. I'm not just offering everyone a place to stay in Hamburg. That's just George.
There's a free room in Hamburg anyone's going for. There's always one in Roy's flat.
Yeah. Any listeners to the podcast, got quite a big living room as well in my flat, and it's about 500 meters from Roy. But yeah, I'm in my Germany top. Got Roy's flatmate Ritzy's Germany bucket hat on. I had it on anyway. So yeah, things are going well.
So looking up, we've said greeted by the sight when I joined this call of both of them sitting there in bucket hats. So. I was
both really don't suit either, did
we? No, we're not bucket hat people, George.
No, I was a bit of a ridiculous sight.
George definitely has a bucket hat photo on his Tinder profile, I think. 100%. He's definitely one of those guys.
Anyway, speaking of George, we're actually missing George this week. He's doing his football training this week. He was telling me last week that he started playing for a Christ League aside, I believe, who train on ash pitches, and you get a really sore knee if you slide tackle. So hope he's having fun doing that, but we'll live without him as we lived without Roy last week. But we're not completely without him, as he's actually given us a wee bit of a recorded update. The last couple of weeks, we've been given some updates of the live action that the boys in Germany have managed to catch. And George actually got along to Union Berlin against Maccabi Haifa during the week. So we'll hear a bit from him now.
So, yeah, I'm not on the pod this week because I'm at football training, but I've pre-recorded this message so I can give you a rundown of my experience on Thursday night at Union Berlin against Maccabi Haifa. So it was a bit of a spontaneous decision, really, because I woke up on Thursday morning here in Hamburg and realised that there was still tickets left and relatively cheap transport. So I basically, in a rush, got a bus from Hamburg to Berlin. So I got to Berlin in good time and had a nice, you know, meander through the city before making my way to the Olympiastadion. And anyone that's been to the Olympiastadion will know that it's a bit of a pain to get to. But alas, I went and had a great time. I spoke to a few people around the stadium, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. To see the Olympiastadion lit up red like that, like the nighttime feeling around it was a real buzz around the stadium. And yeah, the game was really good as well. A first European win for Union in the Conference League this season, after having a bit of a stuttered start thus far. I probably should mention that the game was slightly marred, well, entirely marred, I guess, by the anti-Semitic assault or attack on the Maccabi Haifa fans, who themselves were immense throughout and had supported their team really, really well throughout the game, despite their team not performing very well. So yeah, that was really, really sour to hear about after the game, because I thought the atmosphere in general, from what I could see, was very jovial. And as well with the same similar incidents at Rangers against Slavia Prague on the same night, it was sort of a sobering reminder of that there's still more to do in terms of racism in football and racism in the world in general. But just from my personal experience, really, really unique to see Union playing in the Olympiastadion with a really great crowd and putting on a show for the fans who you know, most of them will never have seen Union in Europe before. So a very, very special atmosphere and a great ground. Despite what everyone says, I think Union made the Olympiastadion their own for that night and really put on a great show. So, yep, that's my report. So enjoy the pod without me, everyone.
There he is.
So funny, you made that sound like he sent a message from beyond the grave.
Couldn't concentrate because you were sitting there crossing yourself.
Yeah. Because he said he's not completely gone. thanks to my supernatural powers.
George does seem like the kind of guy who would do that. He would make a message just for the podcast when if it happened to unfortunately go.
Just right, okay, right. We'll get back to it. Sorry. Thanks, George, for that update. That was enthralling, but we'll continue on with it now. So George went along to Union versus Maccabi Haifa.
We'll continue without me. Don't detail.
Apparently, I've been told that I'm talking about George as if he's talking to us beyond the grave, and he's actually passed away. But don't worry, he's still very much with us. He's somewhere playing football, as I just said. So that's fine.
He's doing a nice diag in or something right now. Diag. Sorry. Continue.
Anyway. Moving on. Another game you just went to, so George was with you both when you went along to the Bremerbrücke on Saturday to see Osnabrück play FSV Zwickau in Drittliga with the away side winning 1-0. When are you actually going to see a home team win a game?
It's not us. It's George. We went to Niendorfer and we saw a lovely 3-2 victory for the home side. I think it's George.
I'd say I'd like to share the blame with George, because I think we're going to talk about Magdeburg won 4-0 on Monday, and we managed to see, I think his name's Siegner, the ex-Wolfsburg kicker. He only had one win in charge, and that was, and that was me and George saw it in Magdeburg. I mean, they're on the same amount of points as Havas at the bottom of the Dritte Liga. So pretty dreadful this year. So yeah, I'm gonna share the blame with George. We really aren't much luck this season.
Well, hopefully Osnabrück win next week, so we can see that proven. But
or tomorrow.
I know you were thinking of going to see Kiel play Hansa Rostock, but you decided to go along to Osnabrück instead. I believe you got a bit of a story to tell, Robert.
Oh, I'm not sure it's a bit of a story. I feel like I've maybe bigged it up a bit now. But yeah, for full disclosure, I was exposed a bit of a fraud amongst the trio. Because the last Kiel game, they played against Hanover, and I think they were allowed 12,000 fans and only 8,000 were there. And yeah, we wanted to go to Rostock against Kiel in Kiel on Saturday. And I said, nah, it'll be fine. The tickets will go on general sale. Last time there were so many tickets available. I don't think I quite realised that it's a bit of a small, it's a bit of an Ostsee derby. And yeah, it's a bit of a derby feeling between the two sides. And it wasn't actually possible to get tickets, and you had to already be a registered user of Holstein. And I was still holding on to it on Thursday, but by that point, even in their pre-match report, they said you're not going to get tickets. So we had to pivot again. But you know, every cloud has a silver lining, and we managed to make our way to the Bremerbrücke. So
yeah, but plus we had that ticket fiasco as well. The fact that they were all down, like St. Pauli's was down, Kiel's was down, Another team had theirs down as well. So we looked for St Pauli on the Sunday as well, but unfortunately the ticket website wasn't playing the game at the weekend. So we're going to blame that as well. It wasn't fully Robert's fault, but it was mostly Robert's fault. We also would have seen that as well.
Moral of the story is never underestimate the pull of the Ostsee Derby attracting thousands of fans to the Holstein Stadion. Yeah, I mean, you could have got away tickets to the St. Pauli-Dresden game with all the boycotting Dresden fans deciding not to turn up.
That would have been an interesting one, but one of my roommates told me he went in as a HSV fan undercover in the Dresden end, and when he walked in, they said, don't put this on the podcast, this is funny, but it was like, you don't sound like you come from the East, and he was like, no, it's fine, because he forgot a scarf. Like, two of them had a scarf, one didn't. He was like, you don't sound, he was like, oh no, he's with me, and he was like, no, I don't think he's with you, and like, they eventually managed to kind of press their way in, basically, because one of they were like, make sure you bring a scarf so you look kind of like you're part of the Dresden team. It was like, end of speaking, he was like, you're not from the East. So yeah, I don't think that would have been good for us, because we definitely don't sound like we're...
No, they would have been around on Sunday, because there's literally no Dresden fans there. That's like 20 of them, so yeah.
Are you talking about another time?
Another one, yeah, not this weekend. Was it?
Oh, right, because I was thinking like all the scary Dresden fans probably went there. Yeah. It was just like the...
Is that another time? Yeah. Sorry, I'm just adding a wee antidote in, sorry.
I'm going to keep that in, that's quite interesting.
Oh, yeah. Any Dresden fans to come after us now?
I don't fancy being... wanted by Dresden fans. I think that would be quite a scary experience. But
thank you. Once is in your Berlin, that's not helpful. So it was.
How was the Osnabrück Zwickau game? Was it a good advert for Just the Liga? How was the atmosphere?
Firstly, I think it's in a ground-hopping sense, just the journey first, let's just paint the picture, Colin, let's not jump straight into the game, come on, we've got the full journey of getting there. It's actually a really good one if you're in Hamburg, because it's only, what, an hour? We paid for the regional ticket for Niedersachsen, which was like 11 euros each, got us there and back. All in all, it was about 2 hours journey, not too bad. Really? Just with the stops and stuff, it was about 3 hours. It wasn't the worst journey ever. It's maybe worth it one of the days if you go in a... You know, everyone goes to Düsseldorf or Köln and you get the roundabout. If you go to Hamburg, you could probably make an Osnabrück game. And for that, the journey was really easy. And we quite enjoyed ourselves on the way down. Bit of a lack of sparkasses in Osnabrück kind of let us down a wee bit, I'm not going to lie. That's not the... But we'll get into the game now. Apart from the bank machines really disappointing us. But when we got to the station, there was quite a few... guys in Parkpool, people in Parkpool kicking about, so we kind of decided just to follow them, walked across this really nice bridge. I was saying to the guys at the time, when we were walking under this bridge, not the Bremerbrook, a completely different bridge, and it was just like, getting that feeling of going back to the football, you've got that walk to the football, where you know everyone's going there, it was good, you know that feeling you get, like, it's hard to describe it, but that feeling of walking to the football is amazing, and we finally got that for the first time in a long while. I definitely did. So it was great, and then just kind of chilling outside for about a good 45 minutes to an hour. Got a massive crack hour, demolished that, shall we say. And I think George enjoyed his currywurst, but his vegetarian option, very little for you, Robert, wasn't it?
The vegetarian options were better than Magdeburg. There were some chips available, but I guess that's to be expected. Well, it's to be expected there's not many vegetarian options in the former East. I shouldn't say that. I'm possibly skipping forward a bit, but I was thinking on the way here, and this might be quite a controversial shout, but the actual stadium itself, the infrastructure, and like what Roy was saying before, is probably my favourite stadium that I've been to so far.
Yeah.
Because as Roy sort of alluded to as well, there's loads of German stadiums that are a long way out of the city. Think about the Volksparkstadion, the stadium in Mönchengladbach, those kind of things. And the fact it was a 20-minute walk from the station to the stadium through a forest for about 10 minutes, and then, like we were saying, sort of underneath the bridges and with the houses all surrounding it, I mean, there's not many things I miss from British football, but that's definitely sort of the stadiums being right in the middle of the sort of working class areas or the middle of the housing estates. I really love that. It feels like it's part of the community. And the stand that we ended up going to, there was houses about 10 metres literally behind the gate. And so, yeah, there was... we were able to buy a beer outside and take it in with us as well.
One guy was kind of confused. One guy said no, and the other guy was like, "No, it's on you going now." The guy was like, "It's definitely not." We managed to sneak it in.
And we're in the fifth row in the Zuidtribune, and you felt really close to the action. It felt like when the players were taking a throw in front of you that you could sort of reach out and touch them, kind of thing. And although the atmosphere wasn't the best, you definitely feel like when the full support is back and in a possibly a more attractive opponent, it could definitely be bouncing in there. Because, yeah, we met up that evening with a friend of mine from uni who is heavily involved in Osnabrück, and he was saying that the ultras were back, but they weren't having any organised support. And so, yeah, the atmosphere was a bit disappointing as well. But I think that's possibly also because of the game.
The game was terrible. Jeez, like I'm not one to usually say anything bad about the game, but it was just shocking. I mean, firstly, Lars Lukosch was quite disappointing. Didn't have a shot on target. Friend of the pod, former Livingston and Raith Rovers player. He didn't even have a shot in the end. We saw him from quite close, obviously, as Robert was alluding to, that we're quite close to the edge of the so when he was at the line, you could definitely see Lars Lukosch. We could probably give him a Kirkcaldy accent. He would have been right in about it, I'm sure, but he was probably a bit busy playing football. Anyway, the game was fucking shite. It was pish. It was absolute mince. It's probably the worst game of football I've seen in a long time, unfortunately, which it still didn't happen the day, I don't think. But it was poor. One shot on target for Zvikal, who we have to probably mention, their fans were class. Like, for how small they were, the fact that all of them, I think it was you that said it, that how many was there, how many joined in, it was quite impressive, considering a team that I didn't really expect much from, and fans-wise. And it's good, what, 5-hour journey. They made a bigger journey than we did. So they were happy to go home with the win, obviously, but they did nothing. They offered nothing. Osnabrück, I was doing a wee scouting mission for on loan Opoku, who I was actually the best player, probably created most chances. But as soon as he got to the final third, Osnabrück just looked like they didn't really have any know how what to actually do. They kind of looked a bit confused, and they had some nice play on the way up, and a couple of really good players like Tafshover was Hoffer was quite good as well, and. Fußball got, as they were saying, Haider. He actually looked quite decent, but it just seemed to be lacking something in the end, and that's the reason why they ended up going down by goal to nil. So, but I wouldn't say that Hampner did at all, because it was good, and even on the way back, we got to, even the train journeys were good. I kind of like to include the whole journey, like, you jump straight to the game, I was like, let's paint the picture. Start from Hamburg, we stop in Bremen, lovely wee bit of Bremen. George got questioned about getting a coffee. Very weird situation. All he wanted was a coffee. Went back, got the train, got their beers, sat down, football, got home, ended up going out for more drinks. Rafa Ban was calling later on that night. So it was all in all, it was a very, very good day. I would give it a good solid 8.5 or 9 out of 10, I think. Yeah. I think that's probably one of the best we've been to.
Especially considering how bad the football was as well. I think that's something we've talked about before on the podcast. But yeah, sort of how the football is the centre point of a day out. And another thing I would say for those architecture fans listening to the podcast as well, Osnabrück was surprisingly pretty as well. Yeah. The Altstadt, nice rat house, nice dorm there as well.
Mm. Spicy shots and everything. I would give Osnabrück a good rating there. I'd say visit Osnabrück. I'll sponsor the video.
And very quick service in McDonald's that Roy and George were able to get before he sprinted back to get the train back to Bremen.
So, we had 7 minutes to get this train, and George was like, "Fuck it, we'll go." And I was like, "No, I don't really want it." Right, fuck it, okay. We went and we made that train with 3 minutes to spare. 4 minutes. Unreal service. So bravo, Osnabrück, what a city. Niedersachsen's finest. Although I thought it was on NRV because it's right on the border, but it's a Niedersachsen city. Niedersachsen's finest, Osnabrück.
Hope we're about to get sponsored by the Niedersachsen Tourist Board here, because that's some advert for Osnabrück. But yeah. By the
I
way,
I was surprised though. I did not expect it to be such a nice place.
So a beautiful city and a beautiful stadium, apparently. Good day out. Probably a much better day out than I had on Saturday, but I'm not going to talk about that.
No, we're not going to mention United this week. Oh, shame. Shadow.
I mean, I sort of did talk about them in a really indirect and passive-aggressive way there. I'm not going to mention them by name after that shocking performance on Saturday.
At least you're not done for one.
You talk about your big juicy on the train.
I still don't believe right. that. I still don't. No one calls it that. I was having an argument with two Englishmen of what to call a tennis.
I've never had a tennis before. I wasn't arguing.
It must be. Yeah. It must be an English person's thing that.
Robert's off. He's not coming back.
George wants to integrate into the Scottish culture north of the border. So
you had a great intro podcast last week. I think you've ruined it now.
A great what?
You two had a great intimate podcast last week, but now you've ruined it saying that because he's like,
I can say what I want when he's not here. It's like when you were in here last week, I was saying that the good people had turned up.
Anyway,
some interesting results in Dritte Liga. Magdeburg were lifted from the jinx of Robert and George. Managed to batter Tukgutu 4-0 on Monday night, so that puts them back on top of the table. Other notable results, Kaiserslautern definitely seemed to have picked up. They won 6-0 at Havelse. Definitely seemed to be the weakest side in the league, even though they won that game at Victoria Berlin last week. But good to see Kaiserslautern, who were struggling so much for goals early on in the season. They started to hit the right tracks.
And at Kaiserslautern in Bremen, so I'm now happy for this man who we never spoke to, who probably had a really nice evening in Hanover watching his team spank Al Halvisa 6-0. So
that was like, weren't the only ones that had a good day in Lower Saxony.
We were not.
I could remember Lower Saxony with Niedersachsen. Sorry.
Yes, you were in Lower Saxony.
We were in Lower Saxony.
But 1860 failed to win again. I think I was having a go at George last week saying that his Dritte League updates were getting more and more sober by the week as 1860 failed to win. And this time he's just decided not to show up for the podcast. So,
at least Milder scored.
I mean, he managed to score in response to them getting benched again at the start. But still not a satisfactory result for the Munich side in that promotion dream that many had predicted at the start of the season is getting further and further away. Anyway, I think we'll move up to a higher quality of football, the Bundesliga.
Don't make that face,
Roy. I think you were slagging the Dritte Liga quality about 5 minutes ago, so I'm just continuing that. But Bundesliga action kicked off on Friday night with a 3-1 win for Köln over Fürth, which I thought Fürth again looked pretty decent. They definitely seem to have improved since the start of the season. I've said this like the last 3 weeks and they've lost every single one of those games, but they're still sitting 1 point at the bottom of the table, but they're definitely improved, looking more organised since they got those new signings in. But in Köln as well, continuing their great start. One thing I'll come to you, Roy, the FC fan. How great was that third goal with Skiri in the last minute sprinting down the middle of the pitch?
Well, I'd like to just point out something that I put Skiri in my team of the season, and a lot of people questioned it. But a lot of people, I think it was just you guys kind of, I don't think you did. You're usually quite
you're not like.
I mean, you know that this goal happened this season and not last.
Yeah, but I'm just pointing out that who's laughing now? Who's laughing now? That's what I should call him. Who's laughing now?
I mean, last season. Neither of us, because that was last season.
He's already in this season as well.
Yeah, he's in this season already. I love you, Liskey. He is probably my favourite player in the Bundesliga. Not even just my favourite FC Köln player. And there's a really funny, I think it's the Chicago-based FC Köln Supporters Club, or it's one of the ones in America, I'm sorry if I got it wrong, but they've got a now, where's Illeskiri now, because of how much he runs every game. And I think he's already ran from Köln, like he's past Duisburg now. It's an incredible thing. Go look at it if you've not seen it. It's really fun just to look at. Big up to that supporters club in Köln. I love that. That's what I look out for after every game. He's unreal. He just doesn't stop running. I don't understand what did he eat in Tunisia? Like how does he just keep going? He just doesn't stop. He's unreal. And there's proof with that goal. So yeah, I think he should be he scores a lot of goals. I mind he scored that double against Dortmund last season as well. He's quite known for getting a couple in games now as well. So I think he's a very good player to have, and I think he suits Baumgart's style of play as well, as that kind of holding midfielder that can still do the running.
Yeah, I think it was heartening to see, like, in the last minute, even though, I mean, they're winning the game 2-1, it was in the last minute, but he was still had such an engine, like, sprinting full pelt towards the other half. Heartening to see Skiri sprinting full pelt towards the other side of the pitch, even though Köln were winning 2-1, already winning, but he was still had that commitment. He said he's suited to Baumgart. He's really implementing a passion into the team. And you saw that from Skiri, desperate to score that third goal. And Schaub as well, who's come on a wee bit under Baumgart after not really fitting in previous seasons in the Köln side. No, you're a fan of him, Roy, but he played the pass at the right time, just to play it through to Skiri, and it was a good finish as well. Anyway, moving on to Saturday. Any of the games stick out to you, Robert, Saturday afternoon? I mean, Hertha lost another game. Gladbach are picking up. But what game stuck out for you on Saturday?
The main game that stuck out for me was Osnabrück against Zwickau. We managed to watch the last 20 minutes of the conference in Gruner Jäger in Osnabrück, to go back to our advertising for the Lower Saxony Tourist
Club. Kraken pub. Guinness was questionable, though. The way they poured the Guinness was questionable.
Which game should I pick out? Hertha against Freiburg, because I was at that exact game 3 years ago in the Olympiastadion, probably the coldest I've ever been at a football game. And a great finish from Niels Petersen on 78 minutes. And you just see how it seems to be a bit of a full storm with Hertha, their win against Bochum. They were really disorganized, seemed to have no idea what they were doing going forward. And Freiburg continue, I think they're unbeaten starts of the season. Mm. Very impressive from them. And yeah, I mean, Dada came out, I think it was after the game or earlier this week, speaking about himself in the third person, saying Paul Dardai's got a contract here until the end of the season, which is never a good sign, really. And yeah, it's very much papering over the cracks at the moment at Hertha. There's lots to sort out during the international break.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Dardai would be a figure of stability when he came back into the job, but he managed to keep him up last season, but I think that was probably the limit of what he could achieve with them. Should probably have gone after that, because I think he's not going to match Hertha's ambitions. And I can see if he goes, they should go for a younger, more exciting option. I mean, he's not old, but more of an exciting option like Terzic or even Tedesco. What?
David Hopkin.
Oh, don't even go there.
Crystal Palace.
I don't even know if Royce told you to say that, or you.
Fuck off! He used to play with Crystal Palace.
So he did. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad he's.
Sorry.
I sometimes forget that you're a Crystal Palace fan. Like,
yeah, I do as well.
I do.
Because whenever I talk about Crystal Palace, I thought like maybe once Max Meyer left, he just sort of decided to ditch them.
Exactly. He was the only thing keeping me together with Palace.
I'm moving on from David Hopkin and moving to Augsburg in Lower Saxony, where Gladbach won 3-1. A bit of a surprise result, perhaps, or maybe not. Augsburg sort of seemed to be a bit on the slide after their surprise start under Matt Van Bommel. Gladbach seemed to be coming together under Adi Hütter, Roy.
Yeah. I definitely saw the last goal and the red card because also Osnabrück was on my mind, as the famous song could have been called. but yeah, why am I talking shite about Jim? I don't know. But yeah, Joe Scally scored an absolute cracking goal, which of course sent anyone who's from the English persuasion of the Bundesliga mad because he's American. But yeah, it was nice to see that happen. But that's a win that they probably needed, just to kind of not get stuck with that kind of middle pack of the league as well. And it just kind of shows that they still have that quality in the side to go and beat a team that, okay, they started well, but they also had a good run, and it's now becoming that, is this Wolfsburg's... I mean, I don't want to say too many bad things about them, because I will be going to Wolfsburg tomorrow as we're recording this, so I don't want to say anything bad, and Van Bommel comes and gives me a right to the face. Thursday, so I think we'll be fine. But I'm kind of slightly questioning what's going to happen with Wolfsburg come the middle of the season, you know, when they're starting to play some of the better teams, because they are dropping down now, and it's getting worrying. But for Gladbach, just to get that win, I mean, if they didn't get that win, they'd be sitting 14th at the moment. So I don't think that it's panic stations yet for them, but that probably is a win that they needed, and they did it quite convincingly as well.
Yeah, I think it was a false start for them. They're not a bad side. They've got a very good squad. Hütter didn't become a bad coach when he left Frankfurt. It just needed time to get together, come together. Because, I mean, I think that, from my memory, the same thing happened at Frankfurt. They made a bit of a slow start, but then by the end of the season, they were towards the top of the table chasing for Champions League. So it could just be a case of that. And they do have such a good squad, really deep squad, and certain players that have been inconsistent in the past are performing really well, like Mbolo and Zakaria. Also had Stuttgart beat Hoffenheim, another maybe slightly surprising result, which would silence some of the doubters for Stuttgart, who many people are starting to think were going to struggle after looking quite blunt. But they managed to get 3 goals in this game. 2 of the goals from defenders, albeit, but they still managed to get the result over Hoffenheim, who, hard to predict what they're going to do from week to week, as they seem to be pretty inconsistent, but that's a good result for Stuttgart. I saw Fury, their signing from Paderborn, managed to get a start, but he impressed against Bochum, and he could be a good attacking midfielder for them as the season progresses. He looks like a good signing. Dortmund managed to beat Augsburg as well, without Erling Haaland. Good to see Marco Reus return. They managed to get goals from other sources, though, in Haaland's absence, with Julian Brandt managing to get a goal. I think it's fair to say he's a player that's lost a bit of his way in the last couple of years under at Dortmund. But I think they do need, if they are going to progress and become serious title challengers, I think they might start to need players like him to step up on a more consistent basis. Particularly after this season, as it looks like Haaland might end up going. So it's quite good that they're stepping up in his absence at the moment. The Saturday night game was Leipzig against Bochum. 3-0 for Leipzig, but I think they're frustrated for long periods. Did you see any of this game? That was Saturday night. You might have been back from Osnabrück at this point.
We were, but I think we watched the game 2 hours later, while we were on the Reaper Band, while something was going on, so didn't manage to catch all of it. Us two are not very good for this Bundesliga roundup this week, are we? But we did see the goals. very good goals well taken from Nkunku, which was nice to see. But I can't really comment on the frustrations they were putting on Leipzig, as you were saying. But I think it's a result that Jesse Marsh needed, but I also don't think it's going to make it seem easier for them now. Like, obviously, they've jumped up in the table now. What are they? They've moved up to an eighth, but I don't think that's now... everything's not now all happy in Leipzig under Marsh. I still think there's still some... he's still got to prove to people that he's going to take them in the right direction, but it's not a bad start, and it's getting Nkunku back to... He didn't really start the season that well with the first couple of games and towards the end of last season. So get him back to his best is probably the best thing that he's done so far.
I don't think it proves very much beating Bochum. As by 3 goals, but that takes so long and they were frustrated. The side were booed off at half-time. The fans are starting to get frustrated. It was George in one of the previous weeks said that Bochum probably looked to have the worst defence in the league. And they do look very suspect defensively, prone to errors. I know the goalkeeper, Riemann, made a few good saves, but he was, as usual, criticising his defence. He likes to do it. And really, basically tell them to get their act together. Moving on to Sunday, Union 1-2-1 at Mainz. First away win for the Berlin side this season. I think it's the first since February, I think they said. That comes after the victory in Europe over Maccabi Haifa as well. Did you catch this, Robert? No. But even so, right, I'll go to Roy again.
You say that you don't want to, because you know you're
just feel like because I've not heard much from Robert recently.
Oh,
but go on, Roy. What did you think?
He's mad. Like, me and George looked at each other and we thought the second goal was a replay. Like, when it went 2-0, we looked at each other like, that was a replay. Like, surely that was a replay from the first goal. It was identical. It was literally identical. But the keeper's got to do better there, obviously, for the second one, where he's kind of panned it. It just looked like in the Mainz didn't look that comfortable and they were going to win. Obviously, they took the lead. But the red card in the last minute means nothing. But I just don't think they looked that... Union didn't kind of look like they were suffering from the Bundesliga Europe kind of game plan. But I think once the game progressed, Union looked by the better side and kind of deserved the win. And Irony, we were saying on the train actually to Osnabrück, just to mention again, we were in Osnabrück at the weekend, just in case no one was aware of this. Colin obviously was in the sunny sites of Maryhill. That was not sunny, sorry. It's never sunny in Maryhill. I used to live in Maryhill. It's definitely never sunny in Maryhill. Am I saying that right? Is it Irony? Yeah, am I saying that right?
Irony, yeah.
He's proven the price tag that he got. He's actually proven that it was worth it now. And for Union to pay that money at the time, I think a lot of people were quite shocked. Because I think we were actually discussing on the train to Osnabrück that not many clubs actually spent a lot of money, and that money that Union spent on Iwani must put them near the top half of like spending over the summer. So definitely he's proved them right, because he's scoring goals and he's definitely proven that he's going to be that player that if Max Kruse isn't quite performing, he's going to be the one that's going to score the goals as well. So it was really impressive to see, and they probably deserved the win.
Yeah, I think that they're showing how much depth they've got in the squad. You said about Awoniyi, how much money they spent. They did make a lot of signings just to bolster the squad, particularly with the Europe. But you see, got Awani and Cruiser, but they've also got Behrens to step in, and he's managed to get goals as well. Vogelsammer, so they do manage to rotate, and I think that's going to be really important for them over the course of the season. It was a really good week from them in a footballing sense, but I think we've got to mention the European game that George alluded to, the anti-Semitic chants, different incidents took place against Maccabi Haifa, Israeli side. which I think really sours the good news from a footballing sense. You know, it is a minority of fans, but they've really got to try and stamp incidents like this out. And it's really made headlines, particularly the fact that it took place at the Olympia Stadium, which obviously has those historical connotations. But it was great to see Mainz fans show their opposition to anti-Semitism with a banner behind the goal before the game. And hopefully Union can manage to find the perpetrators for that. Later in that game, Bayern played Frankfurt, and surprise result, I didn't even watch this game. When I have the chance, I like to avoid watching Bayern. And it was a mistake this time because they actually lost. They won the first time away to Bayern since 2000, Robert. Heroics from Kevin Trapp. And Kostic showed his worth with another goal, another diagonal finish with his left foot. What did you think about this?
I'm very much similar to you, Colin. I watched the Zweite Liga, then Crystal Palace's comeback against Leicester to make it 2-2. And then I thought it was a classic. I thought it was going to be a classic Bundesliga Sunday Bayern game, you know. Maybe 1 or 2-0 at halftime and 5-0 by the end to Bayern. Well, and that's not really what I want on my Sunday afternoon. So all I saw was the score. But Roy reliably informs me that Kevin Trapp made 10 saves before halftime.
Roughly. I could be wrong, but I'm not watching the stats, man.
Up to Roy there. It was a stat.
I read at some point during the game that someone said he's already made 10 saves by now, and it just kind of showed that how important he was. And like you were saying, although Frankfurt frustrated them at times, I didn't see all the game. As Frankfurt did frustrate them, and the first goal was very non-Bayern to concede, very poor defensively from a corner kick. Upamecano had no idea what he was. And Hinteregger, former donkey of the week, now not donkey of the week, had an absolute cracker with his header scoring. So yeah, it was definitely a really good performance, but I think it highlights what many people kind of said, and what I said at the start of the season, that I don't think they're going to run away with it the way they have been. It's still a learning process with the Nagelsmann side. Okay, that's their first defeat. But it was going to come at some point. I didn't think they were going to keep this unbeaten run going. So there'll be a disappointment in München, but I think Frankfurt will just be quite happy that they've started to kind of come into it now, especially with that win midweek. In Europe as well. I think that's Oliver Glasner starting to pick up a bit of steam in Hessen.
Yeah, they definitely had their fair share of luck of this game, but in a great performance by Trapp and goal. But I mean, you're never going to go to the Allianz Arena and outplay Bayern, or like there's always going to be an element of luck involved, and there was in this game. But it helps. I don't know how much this will do in the long run for the Bundesliga this season. Bayern are still going to be heavy favourites, but if anything, it tightens the league up a bit at the top, with Bayern top, but the likes of Leverkusen, Dortmund, and even Freiburg behind them, all trailing them quite closely. And just more of a positive feeling going into the international break, which is good for the league, to be honest. And the final game on Sunday was Leverkusen's thrashing of Bielefeld, following their thrashing of Celtic only 3 days before, another 4-0 win. So I'd say Hradecky was a hero in the Celtic game. He made a lot of saves. Leverkusen could have easily conceded in that game, but in this game, Bielefeld didn't threaten too much. Although they did have that disallowed goal, which I'm really annoyed never stood that back heel.
Yeah, you can kind of understand where it's coming from, but at the same time, he's not in the line of the goal. Oh, Colin didn't like that when I said that. You gave me a look. Not again. But when I said that, you can understand where it came from, I thought you kind of went.
He's
not in the line of the keeper, but he's also like not touched the ball. So, like, I don't know. I don't see that. I just don't see. I see why it's been given, but it's kind of really harsh, especially the, like, he's got a couple of goals now. Boomer, so
it's not so much the decision that annoys me. It's more just VAR in general when teams are celebrating a goal and then a minute or two later it gets chalked off. You just rather make it. Why can't they just make a decision? I'd rather accept the sort of error, the higher chance of error without VAR, but the officials actually just making the decision on the spot rather than VAR. You're stuck and just, you're always just stuck not knowing whether to fully celebrate or not, because easily within a minute or two you could disallow the goal. I just don't think, I think that's more important, keeping the sort of spontaneity of the game rather than everything needing to be correct. It's just really annoying and ruins it. And I'm seeing they're looking and introducing it in Scotland, but which I think is the wrong decision. I think it's one of the things we do right over other countries at the moment that we've not got VAR. And then they're looking at introducing it into the Premiership and the later stages of the Cups, which I don't see the appeal in it. I suppose I can see like that improves the decision making, but I don't see that as the most important thing. That's a bit of a rant. But
are you okay? Anyway, we can talk about the game, but you calm down a bit after that. Like,
because I would say that Leverkusen, me and George were talking about this on Sunday while we were watching the game, probably becoming everyone's favourite team to watch at the moment, I would say. Just what the way they play, even if it's not your side, you're really excited to watch them when they play, and you don't support them at all. I don't really watch many European games unless I'm watching with other people, but I really wanted to watch them play against Celtic. I just wanted to watch, not gonna lie, I kind of wanted to watch them annihilate Celtic, not from a Celtic point of view. I just wanted to see the fans in Scotland and like BBC Sports Scotland were talking about Florian Wirtz. Like, who's this guy? Like, he's not been on the scene for like 2 years now and been unreal for 2 years. You know, things that I wanted them to go and absolutely hammer them to show, like, Bayer Leverkusen are a huge step above Celtic at the moment. And they completely proved that last week, and they proved that again against Bielefeld. They're really, really excited to see. And I think I predicted them to finish quite low in the table, actually, just by getting the new manager in. But Sioane is looking like he's going to do some really good things with Leverkusen. And I don't want to say this and it's never going to happen, but I would not be surprised to see them in the last stages of the Europa League this year.
Yeah, I was saying last week how I think that should be their aim this season for the Europa League. I mean, a couple of seasons ago, they got quite far, I think, about semi-finals. They lost to Inter Milan, I think. So they came reasonably close, but I think they look even better now. And that should be the aim, to win the league. But try not to get too carried away with them. I mean, as Leverkusen, they're famed for their inconsistency and for falling short. And last season, at this point last season, they were going really well. They're top of the league about November, December time. And it sort of fell off a cliff after there, and they fell at the top four. But even compared to last season, at this point, they look really impressive and really good going forward in their attack and play, and it makes them a lot more likable. Because if you're gonna, I was gonna moan about plastic clubs again, but I feel like I should tone that down after last week.
Yeah, you've ranted too much, did it?
I don't know. Anyway, certainly more likeable when they're playing good football as they are this season.
100%.
Anyway, wraps up our Bundesliga review. And we'll quickly move on to some of the Zweite Liga action. I believe you wanted to talk about the common day of the league and the HSV game. 1-1 draw. Disappointing result for HSV, probably, even though they rescued that late point. But, I think it was the manner in which they did it which attracted some attention.
It was just a game of comical goals, wasn't it, Robert? Did you?
I didn't watch it.
You saw the goals, though.
Yeah.
So very comical. Let's just say comical goals. Obviously, the first one, it's been headed away. and has been deflected off of Jonjic and into the back of the net for the hour goal. Not that the team looked how it actually looked like they were going to score a goal, so Hasfal obviously had to help them out there. And then the second goal, like the goal, absolute excellence from new Englishman Tommy Doyle. Just the way he came on and changed the game, not even changed the game, just he actually added something when he came on. He was only there for 4 minutes. A couple of players have actually got at the moment that's doing that, which is really, really good to see, but don't know what Carlson was doing there. He's got all the options in the world and he chose the complete wrong one and headed into the back of his net. I'm assuming he's had a bit of a tough week with a lot of people having a go at him. But yeah, disappointing to see that anyway. But it was an interesting draw. It wasn't the best game to watch, to be honest. It was Vital League weekend. I didn't actually get to see many other games anyway. So yeah, it was probably not the best game to be watching that weekend. But sure, Robert, you got to see a couple. So I think Haggis is going to take over.
Well, Roy was actually messaging me beforehand saying that the Hasfal were going to have a clear victory. As someone who was in the job for almost 2 years beforehand, it was fairly obvious that that's not the Hasfal way. Got a pretty poor record against our, especially at the Erzgebirge Stadion as well. So I think a 1-1 draw is probably a likely result. Seems to be the way that the Hasfal season is going. Yeah, I watched the zweite Bundesliga on Sunday, and we were talking about it a bit in the chat, but Roy's pick before the season as well. But yeah, so on Sunday I watched the zweite Bundesliga, and going back to one of Roy's pre-season predictions of Sandhausen doing well.
I didn't see that. And I said they do well. I said they've got a chance to because of all the players they've signed.
You definitely did say that they would have a good season.
I didn't say they'd finish seventh.
They would do well. And you were waxing lyrical about them. That's how I'd put it. I think what you've done there is they signed a lot of players that you've heard of, so you automatically thought that they were going to do well, like Suku and that donkey Diakate from Braunschweig.
Mourinho.
Huh? Oh, good. they've got players like Alexander Esfine and Dennis Diekmeyer. So they've got a few names. So automatically you think they'll do well, but
that's exactly it, Colin.
Sorry, Robert, continue.
But yeah, that's definitely it, because like you say, they signed some fairly average players from quite a lot of teams who went down, and they were truly dreadful. I think it's a bit of a cliche, but I definitely feel like I could have got game for them. So I mean, the goals weren't even particularly they were well finished by Darmstadt, but they just seemed to be not paying attention at all. The defenders just wouldn't pay attention, and there'd be a guy free at the back post just to tap it in. On the other hand, you would say that Darmstadt have been very clinical this season. Tietz, and particularly Pfeiffer, has looked very impressive. And yeah, you feel like maybe if they could shore up the defence, then they could make a bit of a surge up the table. I guess perhaps on the Sunday, from an entertainment perspective, it wasn't the best in terms of how close the games were. I think the closest of the game is probably the St. Pauli game, and they continue to march on at the top. Timo Schulz doing a great job there, and a stunning goal from Buchtmann to open the scoring on 2 minutes. So it's good to see him back. Well, I say back in form because he was good for them about sort of 5 or 6 years ago, but he hasn't really kicked on since then. Never really got a good run in the squad, good run in the starting 11. So it'd be good to see if he can retain his position in the number 10 position. That's the Zweite Liga roundup for this week.
When I actually caught a Zweite Liga game, so I managed to catch Nuremberg and Hanover 0-0. Not the best game I've ever seen, but another outrageous VAR decision. What? I don't know if you saw it, but it was like a toe offside or something. I think it was Dovidan. was apparently offside, which was called after, of course, after everyone had celebrated and everyone thought it was 1-0, decided to disallow the goal. So that was another point that where I was quite angry over the weekend.
I don't want to call this episode.
Angry Colin fumes over VAR and A United.
That's a headline.
David Hopkins. And that was just another example of why I can't stand VAR. Aside from that, it was a pretty poor game. I thought first full game I'd seen Nuremberg, who remain unbeaten. I didn't think they were particularly impressive. Hannover made a decent start to the game, although it didn't particularly threaten. I'd say a draw was probably the fair result. Neither side really deserved the score, aside from the goal that we should have stood, of course. The other games, Werder, that comprehensive 3-0 win over Heidenheim. Düsseldorf continued their poor start to the season as Paderborn beating 3-2. Paderborn looking good. Looking really impressive. Sven Michels having a really good season, scoring a few goals. So they definitely look like they're going to be promotion contenders this season. Hansa won 2-0 at the Ostsee Derby for Roy Robert and George. It was an impressive result, to be fair. After Kiel changing their coach, he thought they'd get a bit of a bounce, but happened to manage to win. Regensburg came back from 2-0 down against KSC to get a 2-2 draw. Schalke beat Ingolstadt 3-0, which I can't remember if you mentioned. Was that?
Tiroda equaled the record?
Of course, yeah. Tiroda, Simon Tiroda equaled the record of Zweite Liga scorer. What's his name? Who was it?
Schatzschneider, I think his name is. Dieter Schatzschneider? No. Not German name. Yeah, it's very German. But I guess that's maybe one thing to say about the Schalke game that I realised when I was watching it. I mean, it was pretty... it's a big stadium, but it was relatively empty. And I read a kicker article on Monday. There were only 27,000 fans there, even though the state of NRV had allowed Schalke, I think it was almost full capacity.
Yeah, full seats, half standing.
Mm. Yeah, so they could have had 50,000 or something there, and they only had 27,000. So I think it just shows how deep the, not resentment, but how deep the unhappiness is in Gelsenkirchen at the moment with the team, and also without the ultras there isn't a huge amount to cheer about or a huge amount of organised support.
So I saw the crowd. I assumed it was just because of the short notice that they just had decided to keep the crowd with the previous rules. So they just decided not to sell the extra tickets. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, they did. They I think it was on Wednesday, they decided to increase their capacity, but they still didn't increase it very much. So
no one's running to the Belton.
Not very good. But hopefully their next home game they managed. I mean, the side they've had a few bad results, but they're still going reasonably well. I think the problems run deep, and it's more than just a footballing side of things that's going wrong at Schalke, but hopefully things pick up for them. So that wraps up our review of the three leagues. I think we'll just move on to the quiz. For the first time in a lot of weeks, I think I've actually taken control of the quiz.
Good.
After hosting.
Take back control.
Taking back control, yeah. So I've decided the return of fans. I've got a wee quiz, particularly the return of away fans. Got a quiz for some of the games over the weekend, for the away attendances, some of the travelling supports for a selected amount of games. I'm going to ask you both to guess what their support was, and the one that's closest gets a point, basically.
I like this.
So I'm relying on the Football Mafia website, which I don't know if you're familiar with. I think it's an Ultras website. It's
I'm also familiar.
It also has statistics for attendances and includes away attendances. I've got a selection of games. So if any of these figures are wrong, blame them and not me. at least it's not Wikipedia, so it's slightly more reputable than that.
Better than George.
So sorry, we're guessing.
Your screen,
away right. Attendance.
Yeah,
away
your screen had frozen. I thought you were like really. So away attendances. So I'll read out the game, and you have to guess how many fans the away side had for the game. So the first one, Bielefeld versus Leverkusen. How many do Leverkusen have?
Wait, do we confare or do we just shout?
No, it's quiz.
I get you're both guessing.
Oh, we're both guessing
against each other.
I'm going to say 560.
400.
Roy gets the point. It was 1,100.
I didn't look like a lot. I just didn't want. I didn't want
it. It was a lot.
Leverkusen of fans.
Although I think you probably are right to guess lower, because obviously with COVID and everything, there's still that bit of hesitancy. So most of the away crowds are lower than they usually would be, and some of the restrictions. But yeah, so you get first guess there, Roy. So I'll give Robert the guess for the next one first. Right. So second one, Dusseldorf versus Paderborn. How many Paderborn fans were there?
Really? Wow, that's impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah, it looked a lot. Like, as one of their closer ones. I mean, they're both NRV, but I still would have thought Paderborn would have had a less than COVID times. I suppose they're 2.5 hours, it has one of their closest ones, but it's still like a fair distance.
Yeah.
So like fair. The side are doing well, I suppose, which always helps things. But
so do you get that point?
Yeah, that's a point for me, yeah.
Yeah.
700 off, yes, a point.
Right. Third one we're going for is Duisburg and Methven. How many Methven fans were there?
It's not the farthest away. 376.
Right, Robert. 510. Robert gets it. It was 800.
We need to go for 800,
I was really surprised that, because he said no fans. But they usually in away games they would it's like one of the closest journeys for them. I mean, it's still a reasonable distance, I think, but it's one of the closest ones. But say like if Meppen were away to Zwickau or something, they'd probably have about like 50, and now they've got 800 for this. So I was probably the most surprising one of the weekend.
Okay, fair play.
Fair play to Methven fans, and they managed to see a win as well, so they all went home happy, so that was good. Hertha against Freiburg. I've lost track of who's going first. Is it Robert again? Yep. Hertha and Freiburg, how many Freiburg fans were there?
I'll go for 700.
Right.
1,123.
1,050, so that not far off for Roy.
Or me.
Oh, I mean, still over. I mean, 300. So, Nuremberg versus Hanover. Robert.
No, it's me.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to
make.
Your name's after some other.
I want to guess low again, but I feel like every time I've guessed low, it's been really high. 627.
900.
70.
70?
70, yeah. We had 70 fans.
Oh, I assume the ultras are staying away or something.
Yeah, I think so. It was like a televised Saturday night game. as well. Well, like on free TV and everything, so that maybe kept fans. And it's a big journey, like Hanover down to Nuremberg. But 70 fans, that's still quite shocking. But
I get the AC8, aye.
I'm not sure it's that far away. And you think they're a well supported club. I mean, they brought like 4,000 to HSV when I was there. But yeah.
Oh well.
Wow.
Well, they only had 70 on Saturday. What about Bayern against Frankfurt?
I'll go 2-2-2-2.
So you said 2,500 and you said 2-2-2-2. It was 600, so Roy gets that.
Really?
I think it must have been restricted.
Yeah, Bayern have just they've changed the rules.
Yeah.
So they only had 600 and it looked like sort of distance a wee bit and stuff. So on to the last two. I think Roy's winning 4-2 to Roy.
A lot of off guesses.
Valtoff Mannheim against Ferl. How many Ferl fans were there?
17.
Okay. 30.
10. Roy gets the point. Roy's won by now, I think. Roy's 5-2 up, so we're now playing for pride in the last one. Wasnabrück against Zwickau. How many Zwickau fans were there? You should get this one because you were there. You should have counted them.
80.
94.
155.
Really? It looked a lot less than that.
Apparently.
We were there. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, my third day is wrong.
We looked. I've got a video to prove it.
Maybe it counts seated fans and stuff.
Oh yeah, we forgot about them.
There's
only 10 of them.
I don't know how you'd count that if they were in the home end, like seated.
Yeah.
Fans in like the seats in the home end. Well, obviously there's some away fans that do that.
Oh, there was four behind us.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Behind us or some four way. Celebrated.
I'm sure that doesn't count.
I mean, I'm using these statistics, and they all seem like suspiciously round numbers. Like it rounds up and stuff. Like obviously, like 900 or 800. Obviously, it's probably not an exact figure, but
yeah.
Although 155 sort of is, but they must get this from somewhere. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Roy, who's won a quiz this week. He's can celebrate that, enjoy that. So that was a interesting quiz. Roy's got his celebratory bucket hat back on. That was another.
That was a good quiz. I enjoyed that. Thank you, Colin.
Good quiz. Yeah. Excellent. Right. So that was another review of domestic action from the weekend as we head into another untimely international break. So we may take a break ourselves from recording next week, but we'll definitely be back for the return of club action the following week. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Ciao. And it is a goal! And Scotland have bounced back again here, yet again!